This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He kōna i purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
I'm on Anchor Island watching the most amazing scene. We're watching three kākāpō chicks all being vigorously fed by their mum, Hine Moa. And we're trying to work out if anyone alive has seen this sight before.
Not me, but that does sound wonderful. Hi there, kia ora. I'm Alison Balance, and this is Voice of the Kākāpō from RNZ. We're up to part 7, Dark Days. But before we go there, Hine Moa is not the only kākāpō mum with a full house. There is simply so much rimu fruit around that many mums are raising three chicks, sometimes their own, and sometimes foster chicks. Deirdre Virko, she's with the Department of Conservation, and she sure has a lot to be happy about in this bumper breeding season.
High points for me was every time we drew a little smiley face in the circle of an egg on the fridge. So we have this fridge on both Whenuahou and Anchor where we track how many nests we've got, and we draw a little smiley face every time we have a fertile egg or a little blank line if they're infertile. And yeah, every time you draw that little smiley face on the fridge and you start adding up how many fertile eggs we've got, I think those moments were the real highlights for me, with a, wow, look how big this season is, how much potential there is here.
It was probably around mid-April that I was just starting to let it sink in about how well things were going. I'd been kind of stopping myself from really believing it in a way and just going, yeah, no, we've got a lot of work ahead of us and I'm not going to count birds before they hatch. Yeah, so I was feeling very positive and really, really pleased with how things were going.
But we already know that from the 252 eggs that were laid, just 86 chicks hatched. And some of those chicks had already died or were in the vet hospital dealing with things as various as brain surgery and respiratory infections and broken legs. And that's not all.
The low point was definitely the aspergillosis disease outbreak. Yeah, that was scary. It was a low point from a perspective of losing individuals that you knew, but it was scary from the potential of what this could mean for the population. There was about 3 weeks there and when it was, yeah, really quite grim.
Yeah, so that was a real, yeah, interesting, difficult time. And we're just coming out of the breeding season. It was April. Things were just starting to calm down. We knew that we'd had this massive breeding season. We still had lots of chicks and nests. Everything was looking really good. And then we had a chick die quite suddenly. And then we had a female hawkie. Her nest attendance really started to change quite dramatically.
She started attending the nest a lot longer, feeding less at her hopper, and her chicks started reducing in weight. And so we're very concerned about that turn of events, and we initially thought that she just was struggling with three chicks, so we moved one of her chicks to another nest and both the remaining chicks seemed to pick up quite nicely, and then they took another downturn, so we moved a second chick away, and again the last chick seemed to be doing really well for a little while, and then that too started declining. So it turns out that Hawkey was actually quite ill with aspergillosis, and we just didn't realise it at the time.
And that was one of the really scary things about it was, I remember a few times I caught individual birds and they looked fine. We then took bloods from them, looked at those blood samples and realised those birds were really quite sick and had to fly them off. And in some cases, those birds died a few days later. So it was really, really hard to tell. They didn't look like sick kākāpō. They looked like perfectly fine kākāpō. There was no way of telling from the outside.
Really, the only way you could detect aspergillosis in the birds was to send them off and have a CT scan done, and of course that's really hard to do. We're talking about finding a kākāpō, putting it into a carry cage and then flying it off the island and putting it on a domestic flight, it's just a massive mission to do that for one bird, let alone thinking about how do we do this across the population.
Many of the sick kakapo were sent to Auckland Zoo, where vet James Chatterton found himself looking after some of the chicks he had helped hand rear down on Whenua Hau.
In a busy year, we might have two or three kakapo perhaps in a whole year. And at the moment, we've got 18 birds in the hospital.
One of the first kakapo to die was Hoki, the first hand-reared kakapo.
Oh, I was gutted to hear about Hoki. She was a real favourite of many. And yeah, it was very hard because she's 27 years old. She was supposed to outlive lots of us. And she had such character. She really demanded everyone's respect. She was great. So that was very hard news and also really concerning. What did it mean for the population? Was it a one-off?
And sadly, no, it wasn't. Not long later, another adult, Huhana, was diagnosed with the dreadful fungal disease.
Yeah. I mean, we don't like losing any of our patients, but particularly the old adult breeding females that have such a rich life before them. So I guess with Huhana specifically, we knew that the clinical signs that she was showing were that she was slowly starting to choke to death. Her airways were blocking up with aspergillus lesions, and despite several weeks of effort and multiple operations, we were unable to fix that. And so we ended up in the stage where we knew that she was going to die. You know, I felt some comfort with Huhana in that we could step in a few days before she died naturally and make the end more peaceful than it would have otherwise been. So, of course, that was a really tough decision for us. But actually, I feel like it was a nice decision for her once we understood that there was no hope of her getting better, that we made the end peaceful, because if we'd have not stepped in, the way she was going to die would have been really a very horrible way to go.
Hey, Alison, it's Deirdre here, and it's the 2nd of May. Can you believe it? The season is still going on. I must admit, it's starting to feel like quite a long time now. But it's been amazing. As of today, we've got 77 chicks alive. And actually a little bit of a bundle of nerves. We've had a few health issues lately. We lost Hawkey a couple of weeks ago. And it seems we've just always got one or two chicks that we're having to keep a really close eye on, move them between nests, maybe pull them in for hand ring. Just, I guess when you've got 77, there's always going to be a couple that you're worried about.
We had a bit of a lull, but then we had another wave of losing three chicks in the space of about a week. It was a really hard week. And again, aspergillosis.
So this pen's got Esperance 2B and Quihi 2A in it. Esperance 2B is the youngest of the chicks that we've got here, and she's been with us the longest. And you can see how she's really keen that we're here, because you certainly get a very different reaction from the adult females that we've got here who really aren't that happy with us.
So if I pronounce this rightly, Wihipu, she's one of the adults, and we're just going to take some bloods from her. It's really needed to help them, getting through this, and for us to be able to give them the right treatments and follow-ups. We're now putting her in the nebulizer, which is part of the treatment. So they get treatment which is actually nebulized in a smaller environment, which they then inhale, which then can directly work into the lungs and the trachea.
I think we had 15 chicks that went through the CT scan coming back confirmed with aspergillosis before we had a chick that was cleared. So that was really worrying. For a few weeks there, I definitely felt like I was in the middle of a nightmare and wanted someone to wake me up.
This is Nora coming, yeah. You can hear her a long way off. So Nora was hand-reared in Invercargill for a short period, then spent some time in a nest with a mother and is now here. So she's had an interesting life, so... Okay.
for all of those years, those decades of work that have gone into getting kākāpō from the very brink of extinction to where they are today, is just realising just still how vulnerable they actually are. You know, you can't actually think about that every day. It would do your head in. You've just got to get on and manage the risks from a day-to-day basis and make sure you're doing everything that you can do. So you kind of, you don't become blasé about it, but you have to put that to the side when you're dealing with it day to day. You can't let that wake you up in the middle of the night every night. But yeah, definitely during those weeks there were a lot of sleepless nights and concern about that. You know, what does this mean for the population?
We ended up losing 9 kākāpō out of 21 that had aspergillosis. We scanned nearly 50 of them. So we lost to 7 initially, and we expected to lose more from what we're told from the vets about what normally happens in aspergillosis. And it was quite a surprise, I think, to everyone to find them responding so well to treatment and to understand that, you know, maybe we're not going to lose half or maybe even 3/4 of those affected birds after all. But then, on the other hand, it was a real shock suddenly in September to lose 2 birds in quick succession. One of them had had aspergillosis and been treated. The other one had been cleared of aspergillosis. And to find out then, just when we thought we were over it all, suddenly it came back again. Yeah, that was quite a scary time. And we were then wondering that we might even lose more. But touch wood, so far, we haven't had any more cases.
Grumpy, loud Nora 1A was one of the 7 chicks to die from aspergillosis. But Esperance 2B, the chick that was so keen to see James, she survived and is now back in the wild following a 277-day stay in hospital. That was the longest stay, just beating out one of the mums, Margaret Marie. Esperance 2B, by the way, was named Toiora by the Auckland Zoo team. Her name means survivor. And that's it for Voice of the Kākāpō this time. A big thanks to Deirdre Virko and Andrew Digby from the Kākāpō Recovery Team at the Department of Conservation, and to the whole team at the New Zealand Centre for Conservation Medicine at Auckland Zoo. I'm Alison Balance, and I'll be back soon with the final episode in this RNZ podcast. I recorded and produced the show, and Phil Benge mixed it. You can check us out at rnz.co.nz/kākāpō or just search for RNZ Kākāpō Files wherever you get your podcasts. Bye for now. Mā te wā.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.